Namaste, welcome. Welcome to this silent retreat. And as of now, we are in silence. And anybody that is caught speaking will have to go without pudding for the next 2 days, which is a terrible fit, absolutely. We've just had our first meal here, for those of you online joining us. And it was, yeah, pretty good. So why retreat? Why are we at retreat? What's the purpose? What is the reason? It may seem obvious, but it never hurts to really take another look, does it? To really look at why. What is it about? And retreat for me is a special time. It's always this first few moments of a retreat are just, well, it's all magical, but all this moving and traveling and all these moving parts coming together for all these beings to be in the same place, this physical building and this virtual building that we have here is an amazing thing. And I don't know if you can hear online, but there's birds singing in the background too. We've had a beautiful rain shower, and it's absolutely stunning. Just checking you can hear me okay. Yeah, wonderful. Good. So we're here at retreat, whether we're in the room or whether we're online, because, but what are we retreating from? What is that actually about? Retreat means to move away from something, towards something else, away from something. And really, what are we retreating from when we're here? Why would we want to spend 5 days in silence? What is that about? Because some people, when I mentioned that this is what we're doing over this time, give me a very strange look. Where would you actually want to be in silence for 5 days? That's bonkers, absolutely. But by the time you end up here, there's something profoundly exciting about it. Although if I ask you the same time tomorrow, it might be different, you know. So we're retreating from our normal way of being with ourselves, with the world, with those around us that we love. And we're really just going to be present to everything that comes up for us in the next 5 days. And if you've done this 5-day retreat before, you probably remember around about day 2 or 3, you went a little crazy, started climbing the walls a little bit. Maybe that didn't happen. But then there's a deepening, there's a breaking through. And it's not just our outer silence. We're here to honor the inner silence that we really already are. And when we remove ourselves from our normal life like this, as much as you can online as well, you might still have to speak to some people, but as much as you can honoring your own silence, then we find that there is something begins to happen, a slowing down, a deepening, an authenticity of showing up for whatever's showing up for you, and an absence of ways we're distracting ourselves from doing that in our everyday life. So we're retreating from all the ways that we avoid ourselves. And pretty much there's nothing else to do at retreat except encounter yourself. And that was terrifying for me at first. I remember thinking, what on earth have I done signing up for this retreat, 5 days to be with myself? I mean, crazy. So I just want to start by acknowledging that you already are at a place in your pathway where this is what you'd rather be doing on this weekend. And this is what you would rather be doing for the next 5 days. That's something significant, isn't it? Something amazing. And what are we moving towards? If we're retreating away from the normal way of interacting with ourselves in our life, what are we moving towards? Well, towards awakening, to a deeper awakening to reality in this moment now. So let's start by clearing out any ideas that by the end of these 5 days, you're going to be more enlightened than you were before. That's not going to happen. Everyone wants their money back right now, right? But we might be more aware of how aware we already are, how we might be different than we see ourselves to be normally. So by the end of this time, can we become more conscious for more often of who and what we already are, which is the goal of this time, if there is one? Can we leave this retreat with a deeper respect for how we already are, our mind, our body, our emotions, our life, our relationships, how they already are, and less expecting them to be a certain way? Can we use this time to foster a love for ourselves, that who we are and where we're at right now is absolutely enough? That there doesn't need to be a single thing changed before you start to like yourself again. What would that look like? What would it feel like to like yourself as you go about your everyday existence? What would that be like? Because the things that we're retreating from, the reason we want to avoid ourselves so much, is what we think we know about ourselves. And here is a beautiful time and a beautiful place to step out of that. Reinvent yourselves, or pull yourselves apart in this 5 days and don't put yourself back together again. Everything will still work. You'll leave here much more peaceful and refreshed. Do you have to come to your life? Do you have to come to this retreat? Do you have to come to this session even with a goal of where you'd like to be in the future? Or things that you think you have to get rid of from the past? Is it really true that by getting somewhere that you don't think you are now, your life's going to flow better? What if we've got that backwards, actually? So a deeper awakening in this moment, what does that actually mean? What does that look like? Can you see all right there? Go over if you want to. You're like poking around the laptop. I was wondering if you sat there on purpose so you can avoid it. Is there someone else hiding behind there? So awakening to me is a strange thing. It is a very ordinary existence, a very normal, ordinary existence, a human being going about their life, their relationships, their job, their family, career, whatever we're doing in any particular moment. But a human being with no ability to believe the commentary about what's going on, the commentary between our ears, what's going on. And a human being where the commentary that's going on is no different than the birdsong or these words or the furniture in the room. It's just something that is. Can you imagine never being able to believe a thought ever again? And is that far away? Is that something that we have to strive and work towards over these 5 days, 6 days? Or can we simply come in this moment now to drop anything that we're holding on to, any stories that we came to retreat with, any reasons why we felt we needed to be here, any reasons why, any stories why we can't have peace right now? Retreating away from all of that and moving towards what's actually present right now. What's here right now is all of these bodies in this room, all of these bodies here online, these words, the bird song. That's it, isn't it? That's all we really know. So we always like to bring awakening back into the present tense, as in now, right now, we are free already. And then a thought pops up and some attention goes to that thought and we start to feel a negative emotion. And then mind says, well, that means I've got further to travel. I've got some distance to go now. I'm not where I thought I was. But what if the thought arising and the attention going to it and the emotion that comes up is just part of the furniture inside your being, if it was just part of that? So awakening really looks like anybody else's life. It looks like your life right now. It doesn't need anything to be different. It's simply a very ordinary human existence, lived a very extraordinary way. Even extraordinary is a strong word because it is our natural state. We've come so far from where we think we started that we think to not believe any thoughts is extraordinary and difficult and takes a long time and all of those things. And what happens if we drop that right now, all of us here together, and decide that we're already free? Does it mean attention will never go to a thought again, to mind? Of course not. What happens, what you decide the next time attention goes to mind? Maybe it's doing it right now as I'm talking. Maybe mind's saying, you really need to be listening harder. You've got to get more out of what she's saying and you've got to get maximum you can out this time or else you'll screw it up and then you won't get what you came for and then you'll be right back where you started when we started retreat. What if that's going on right now and you choose that if attention goes to it, it goes to it. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. For me, only when I decided that it didn't mean anything, if I listened to thoughts, I didn't give that any story at all. That was when a huge, huge, but quiet, very quiet shift happened. Because there was only really one story I was telling myself that was causing all of this trouble. And it went something like this. It went, I am not who or what or where I'm supposed to be. Some version of that is what's tormenting us, isn't it? At all times, really. and we get super duper spiritual, we say that person out there is not who they're supposed to be. But if I get who I'm supposed to be in here, that person will change then too, you know? And that's probably true, but can we actually arrive where we think we need to be if we're not looking clearly where we already are? Is that even possible? If you all set off to come to retreat but didn't know where you were starting from, would you have arrived here? It doesn't work. So just for this time we have together, just dropping this one story that whatever happens is not supposed to happen. Like if you freak out on day two and you spend the whole day sobbing or laughing or both at the same time, it sometimes happens. Or you feel you're going absolutely crazy and you can't take the silence, or you love the silence and you don't want to go back to the real world afterwards, you know? Can we fully embrace that? What if this retreat was more of a celebration of where you're already at but haven't seen yet? What if the one idea you couldn't believe when you left here, virtually or physically, is that there's any difference between me and you? At all. Mine's going, I don't know about that one. That's, yeah. What if that's already true? That there's really no difference? I've simply maybe paid more attention to where I'm already at and less to where I think I am. And that's what's changing for you, isn't it? You're here to pay more attention to where you already are. I see some yawning at the back there. The pudding's kicking in.
That's right.
So can we have that as our theme moving through this time together? Really, really would like to see where I'm already at. I really, really would like to see more than I would like to keep berating myself and judging myself. Let mine do that. It's good at that, right? It can do it. It's okay. What if that was just another thing that was happening, like the grass is growing, the birds are singing, the rain is falling, my mind is talking. That's all. The moment that you embrace the mind that way, right, from a place where it doesn't need to stop, it shuts up. Sporadically at first, momentarily, there's a silence. And the mind says, oh, it's quiet, you know. Oh, I didn't have a thought for at least 15 seconds. Oh, wait, I'm having a thought again. So does it matter how long you can go in between thoughts? Is that really the goal? After 15 years of trying to achieve that, I can tell you it's not. So, but to get to a place where it doesn't matter if a thought arises, and it certainly doesn't matter if attention goes to that thought, it doesn't matter if you get so caught up in that thought for a whole day and feel miserable and then come back out of it. Or get caught up in a thought of how, you know, enlightened I really am and I feel amazing and super duper. And then I realize, you know, come out of that one. What if that doesn't matter? What if that is pretty much the highest place you can hang out? And it's not achievable now, right now. And over these next 5 days, we're going to be doing a lot of silent sitting. If you've done it before, so yay, sometimes. And that's what the silent sitting is for. There'll be some guided meditation, but there'll be a lot of just sitting together. And that really is, let's see what happens in this time and see if we can let it be better than we did last time. And that's really a productive thing when there's no structure, when you're not listening to me talk, or when I'm not guiding a meditation. Because there's nowhere else for our attention to go, then it's going to go with the thoughts. It's going to go with the sensations. It's going to go with the noises outside that suddenly seem really loud in the silence. Really, whatever's going on at home around you. So I always like to start from the end. Let's start from the end here now. And then over 5 or 6 days, we'll be really good at that, staying at the end. Every single one of us here will have some kind of story that they don't feel they can leave behind. There's just this one last karmic pattern, right? The Klingon, the one that just will not go, no matter what you do. And you tried everything you can spiritually to peel it off you, and it just sticks right back. What if you just decided today that that didn't matter? That that could go on for as long as it goes on for. You don't have to like it. But you weren't going to give it any meaning. I'm not going to decide that I'm unworthy or not ready for awakening because this karmic pattern is going on. Or maybe there's two or three of them, you know, going on. What's the story, the belief that you just can't put down? And does it matter that you can't put it down? Because there's this huge myth that awakening is when I've put down all my stories. Or is it that when I've put down all my stories about my stories? And that's achievable now, right now. And I'm only here to remind you that you can do that right now and be at peace. Don't imagine for a second that a story never comes up in my head, you know. It's very infrequent now, but when it does, it's kind of entertaining, mostly. Change the channel quick, but the difference is, it doesn't matter to me really in that way anymore. I'm not trying to get rid of all of that. And that's why it falls away. That's why it goes. Isn't that the essence of love then, to just be with yourself right now, however you are? To kind of feel a fire inside that's burning and building somehow. To say, I just don't want to do that to myself anymore. Even this lofty goal of awakening, I'm not going to use that as a future point in time where I'm not happy now, you know, until I get to that. Every single awakened being that's ever reached some level of peace has gone through this middle stage where the stories were still there, but they didn't believe them because they didn't matter. So first we believe all of our thoughts, and then we spend some time getting rid of some of those ideas through contemplation, or they just fall away. And then at some point there is this quiet realization that it doesn't really matter. If I believe a thought, my body feels terrible for a while, I have some negative emotion. probably a really crappy experience in the world somewhere. Sorry, negative experience. And yes, that's unpleasant, but does it mean anything happened? Does it mean I'm still bound? Does it mean I need 15 years more meditation? Because, you know, there might always be some kind of story that tempts you. Always. And do you have to kind of move beyond that completely to reach freedom? Or is freedom more that it doesn't matter right now? Wherever I'm at in this process of disbelieving thoughts, that's just what's going on with my attention and my mind, and it's really got nothing to do with me. Something inside is becoming less and less inclined to believe thoughts. Do I have to wait for that process to finish before I'm happy? Or can I be happy right now with just momentary blips of unpleasantness as I temporarily give some attention to thought? Just flipping it on its head. Most of us spend most of our time miserable because we're trying to get to this end point that never actually arrives. So whatever happens here, and then for the rest of your life, does it matter? Something goes wrong with, you know, one of your children, something goes wrong with your career, something goes wrong with your significant other, something happens, then they go through a tough time. You start to believe some thoughts, you feel terrible, and then you see, wait, those thoughts aren't true, and you come back out of it again. Did anything happen? Did anything change for you? Your body may have felt constricted and tight and some amount of emotion. What about you? How do you reference yourself in that? Do you remain unchanged? A little bit of frowning going on there. So what we're really talking about is freedom and peace now and forevermore. And peace is not the absence of believing thoughts. Peace is the absence of believing you shouldn't believe any thoughts. That's a hugely different thing, isn't it? Huge. When you really get that, that's enormous. And your life carries on exactly the same. Sometimes you believe thoughts, sometimes you don't. More and more you don't. And when you do, it's okay. It's absolutely okay. Yes, you prefer to feel more pleasant emotions, more expansive states. We don't have to measure your progress against when it goes the constricted states. And it took me ages to figure this out. Ages. I was trying to get to some place where I never believed thoughts anymore. That happened accidentally by doing this. I didn't even realize it had happened. We were talking yesterday on the way here, and it came up again today about like this significant shift. Everybody asked if I had a significant shift. Can I describe it? Not so much, you know. Just found out one day that I couldn't really believe any thoughts anymore and resist anything. When that happened, I don't know, some point. I found that really crazy. How can you get to a place where you don't believe any thoughts? You can't, and not notice. Like, Isn't that the goal of all of this? But it really wasn't something I was interested in anymore, because it didn't matter whether I was believing them or not at this point. Whether we call this love or forgiveness or surrender, it's all the same really, isn't it? It's all the same thing we're talking about. And I have to keep bringing it back to this, because the tendency otherwise is to want to get to a place in the future. If you feel something within you, it's like, I'm going to get as much as I can out of this time, and then I'm going to be different when I leave than I am now. Something like that, isn't it? Some story going on. Of course, that's, you know, that's okay. Mind will do that. But I'm asking you, the next time you believe a thought, which could be right now, if somebody has a question in satsang and, you know, they have a breakthrough and your mind says, I am seeing that, I'm not where they are, and you buy into it and you feel terrible for the next however long, does it matter? I mean, yes, it matters, you'd rather feel better, but does it matter spiritually? Are you going to use that to say where you are in your awakening journey? Or could it be inconsequential in terms of how far I've come and how far I've got left to go? So this is what I would like us to stay focused upon. And I will remind you periodically. I'm quite good at that, a bit persistent. Because this was the biggest and quietest breakthrough I ever had. I could go on believing thoughts for another 50 years, or I could stop right now. Doesn't matter. Honoring this intermediary stage where I still might be believing some thoughts, but not giving that meaning. Because the only thing we hear about is after that, where there's no thought hardly and definitely no ability to believe it. And you can't get there without embracing this intermediary stage. And the more fully you embrace this intermediary stage, the faster you get to the, I don't even like to say goal, the faster you get to the goal, because we're putting it in the future, but you know what I mean. You could already be so happy in the intermediary stage that you don't actually notice when your ability to suffer falls away. It falls off somewhere and you don't know where you left it. It's just gone. Or a mind could say anything and your attention does what it does and you know, that's okay. It's okay. Over and over again, the only reason we're suffering is because we're trying to get to this end point without embracing this middle bit. Right now, this middle bit. So, you know, coming to retreat, usually even from the moment we commit to retreat, we were talking about this earlier, all kinds of resistance comes up. You know, your babysitter drops out last minute, or your car breaks down, flat tire, or your internet connection doesn't work. We had this earlier. We were slightly concerned. All this resistance comes up as part of retreat, even before you start, even before you get in this session. Can you start just by saying none of that meant anything if I went with it? It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't have to. And if you want to go right back to when you were born, when your body was born, nothing you've ever believed really meant anything in terms of spiritual progress. You were just as awakened then as you are now, already free. gradually suffering erodes this need, erodes away this need for a big pivotal firework moment, you know, where I finally know that I'm awakened, where some angels appear and give me some flowers and say, congratulations, you've done it now. And for me, I just didn't even want that anymore at a certain point. I just needed to stop suffering. And here it is right now, here, this, just this, this tiny, tiny, but so important thing, so important. I can't stress how important this is that we're talking about right now in terms of enlightenment, freedom, instantaneous. If I do berate myself for believing thoughts, I'll just let that go too. It doesn't matter, does it? That's just the ultimate story. No story is true. I've never managed to find anyone show me where it's written. It says, thou shalt not believe thoughts, you know, or something similar. Or even, thou shalt not berate thyself for believing thoughts. It's just not anywhere at all. And yet we all think that's what awakening is, don't we, when we start off on this path. And usually quite some way into it. I was really convinced at a certain point, more so than ever, that this was the answer to stop believing thoughts. Because I'd heard of this magical enlightenment where you don't believe thoughts anymore. Every time I went with a thought then and really had a horrible experience, it made me feel even further away from awakening. But really utterly simple, as simple as I can possibly say it, is just not believing this one idea, this one thought, that whatever's happening right now in your head, or in your life, in your finances, is not supposed to be happening. However your body's feeling shouldn't be feeling that way, because I shouldn't be believing this same old story right now. So I've tried to say the same thing about 75 ways in this 40 minutes. So hopefully, not because there's anything wrong with you, but because of this tendency that we have to want to try to make it more complicated than it really is, or our mind at least wants to. So you're going to leave this session free or not? We could end the retreat right here. See you all next time. Yeah, it's been fun. But moving forward into the days that are coming, where we have together, let this be your focus.